や関東をフォローすることも忘れないでください。 Facebook は The Voice of Indonesia、 Instagram は VOI underscore underscore official、 TikTok は VOI underscore underscore official、 YouTube は VOI official。 あなたも LRN デジタルアプリで Voice of Indonesia の放送を聞くこともできます。そして受信報告書はメールで voilisteners@gmail.com に送られることができます。それではまた次回お会いしましょう。Thank you for still staying tuned in Indonesia today through our audio streaming voinews.id and RRI Digital. I'm Nuga Kusumawati and I will accompany you to complete your weekend with highlight of the week. Creative Economy Ministry supports Village Cooperative Initiative to boost local creative economy. Government launches grand design for population development for the next 20 years. United Nations has finally managed to deliver fuel needed in Gaza. Let's begin with the first info. The Ministry of Creative Economy and the Ministry of Cooperative have joined forces to accelerate the development of village-based creative economies through the Red and White Village Cooperative Initiative. Dora Pardede has the details.
The Ministry of Creative Economy has affirmed its commitment to supporting Red and White Village Cooperative as part of the President's strategic program to strengthen village-based creative economies. This commitment was conveyed by Minister of Creative Economy Tuku Rifki Harsya during the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding in Jakarta on Thursday. Minister Rifki explained that the Ministry of Cooperatives and the Ministry of Creative Economy have agreed to collaborate to accelerate the launch and operation of Red and White Village Cooperative. According to him, the collaboration will enhance the cooperative's quality in key areas such as data development, human resource development, creative infrastructure in rural areas, funding facilitation, marketing system, and job creation for youth.
The collaboration that we will undertake involves several key areas, including research development, particularly data research focused on identifying types of creative economy products and services found in various villages that have the potential to be developed through cooperatives. It will also include human resource development at the village level through vocational and integrated education that combines aspects of creativity and cooperative management. Furthermore, the partnership will facilitate funding and financing through schemes that are more accessible for creative economy activities in villages. In addition, it will support infrastructure development such as creative spaces as well as marketing systems. All of these efforts are aimed at opening up job opportunities for the younger generation.
Meanwhile, Minister of Cooperatives Budi Aristiadi stressed the significance of the partnership, stating the cooperation is the very essence of a cooperative. He expressed hope that the collaboration will contribute to the growth of Indonesia's economy, particularly through products made by and for the Indonesian people.
Next, we have information about Indonesian Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian emphasized the strategic role of micro, small, and medium enterprises, including the handicraft sector, in supporting Indonesia's economic resilience. Ranoff has the details.
Indonesian Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian highlighted that micro, small, and medium enterprises, including handicraft, are one of the main pillars of the national economy. He delivered his message during the closing ceremony of the National Handicraft Council on Friday, July 11, 2025 in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan.
kerajinan atau handicraft ini ya, itu adalah salah satu.
Handicrafts are part of micro, small, and medium enterprises. And micro, small, and medium enterprises contribute a lot not only to Indonesia. So don't underestimate them, especially the handicraft sector.
Apalagi termasuk diantaranya kerajinan.
Minister Tito also recalled that when COVID-19 pandemic hit the world in March 2020, almost every province in Indonesia experienced negative economic growth. However, four provinces managed to maintain positive growth: North Maluku, Central Sulawesi, Papua, and the special region of Yogyakarta. He noted that maintaining that strength of micro, small, and medium enterprises, including the handcraft industry, is essential because this sector has proven to be resilient, helping the economy stay active and playing a key role in national recovery.
Now we have information about government launches grant design for population development for the next 20 years. Ranoff has the details.
The Minister of National Development Planning, National Development Planning Agency, or National Development Planning Agency in collaboration with the Ministry of Population and Family Development, or National Population and Family Planning Board, or BKKBN, officially launched the Grand Design for Population Development for the next 20 years. This long-term plan will be further detailed to a 5-year population development roadmap launched on Friday, July 11 in Jakarta. The design aims to realize the 2045 Golden Indonesian Vision and ensure that population growth aligned with the development of high-quality human capital and families. During the launch, the Minister of National Development Planning, or HDP, of National Development Planning Agency, Rahmat Pambudi, emphasized that with accurate population data, government can more precisely design development needs, such as how many schools need to be built, how many health clinics are required, and what other basic services must be prepared.
With accurate population data, we can begin to plan for our development needs, how much food we require, how many schools must be built, how many health clinics need to be developed, what other essential services must be prepared to meet our population's basic needs, how many books must be printed, how many doctors we need to train, how many teachers must be developed. All of this is possible if we have accurate population data.
The Indonesian government is also focusing on 5 key strategic issues that pose major development challenges: population disparity across regions, population growth and size, total fertility rate, urbanization, and changing family and youth behavior.
Let's move on to our next info. After 130 days, the United Nations has finally managed to deliver fuel needed in Gaza. Spokesperson for the UN Secretary General Stefan Dujarric said the fuel delivered is still far below the daily needs in Gaza. Andi Romdoni has the details.
A significant breakthrough, a United Nations team has successfully coordinated the delivery of 75,000 liters of fuel into Gaza Strip, marking the first such shipment in over 4 months. The long-awaited provision, facilitated through cooperation with Israeli authorities, offers a glimmer of hope for sustaining essential humanitarian operations in the besieged enclave. Spokesperson for the UN Secretary General Stephane Dujarric, during a briefing on Friday, said that the fuel, though a fraction of the daily requirement, will provide temporary relief to hospitals, water desalination plants, and aid distribution networks that have been on the verge of collapse. The UN and its humanitarian partners estimate that hundreds of thousands of liters are needed every single day to maintain life-saving services, making this delivery a crucial but insufficient step.
It's in the Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, and they tell us that yesterday a UN team managed to bring in about 75,000 liters of fuel from Israel into the Gaza Strip. This is the first such provision in 130 days. As we mentioned yesterday, we and our humanitarian partners need hundreds of thousands of liters of fuel each day to keep essential life-saving and life-sustaining operations going, meaning that the amount entered yesterday isn't sufficient to cover even one day of energy requirement. Fuel is still running out, and services will shut down if greater volumes do not enter the Gaza Strip immediately.
In the briefing, Stephane Dujarric also said that between October 2023 and June of this year, 626 temporary learning spaces have been established in Gaza, with 240,000 students enrolled. About half of those students are girls. However, UN partners said that only 299 spaces are currently operational due to the ongoing displacement orders, funding shortfalls, and other challenges. The UN urged that such catastrophic situation must end. A ceasefire is not only urgent, it is long overdue, and all of the hostages need to be released unconditionally and immediately.
Our next info is about Indonesia and Qatar are advancing a bilateral agreement on migrant worker placement with a strong emphasis on ensuring strict protection standards for Indonesian workers. Dora Pardede has the details.
Indonesian Minister for the Protection of Migrant Workers, Abdul Kadir Karding, emphasized that strict protection regulations for foreign workers are a mandatory requirement to finalize the placement cooperation agreement of Indonesia migrant workers in Qatar. He delivered this statement during a meeting with Qatar's Deputy Minister of Labor, Sheikha Najwa bin Abdulrahman Al Thani, in Jakarta on Thursday. Karding expressed confidence that the Qatari government can meet the mandatory protection requirements for migrant workers in order to realize the bilateral placement cooperation, especially since Qatar has ratified the International Labor Organization Convention. Therefore, Karding stated that the Ministry for the Protection of Migrant Workers of Indonesia will prepare priority sectors for worker placement in Qatar.
Insyaallah kita akan menyiapkan sektor-sektor prioritas dalam penempatan pekerja migran.
We will prepare priority sectors for migrant workers placements in Qatar through existing job matching. We will focus on the healthcare sector, protected domestic workers, the hospitality sector, and information technology. We will align everything with Qatar's quality standards and demand design. For domestic workers in particular, we will proceed with great caution and require guarantees of protection before deployment.
Meanwhile, Qatar's Deputy Minister of Labor, Sheikha Najwa bin Abdulrahman Al Thani, stated that her country has made significant improvements and remains committed to protecting foreign workers. She added that Qatar has undertaken reforms in bureaucracy, legislation, and regulation, including those related to labor protection, particularly for migrant domestic worker.
Coming up next, information about the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education has launched a new initiative to support student character building and motivation through a more welcoming school orientation program. Ofra has the details.
The Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education officially launched the School Environment Introductions Program, or MPLS, on Friday in Jakarta. This program is designed as part of the Friendly MPLS initiative, which not only focuses on introducing the physical school's environment where students will study, but also serve as a collective effort to highlight the importance of character education, talent and interest development, and building a strong learning spirit from the very first day. In his remarks, the Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, Abdul Muti, stated that the government has prepared a number of supporting programs that will begin implementations to strengthen student character and motivations to learn.
There are many initiatives we are launching as part of the ministry's policies starting from the 2025-2026 academic year. One that is already underway is the Seven Habits of Excellent Indonesian Children program, along with the Joyful Morning program, which we will further enhance and implement more widely beginning in 2025-2026. These two program packages are part of our effort to build character and reinforce the enthusiasm for learning to the best of our ability.
Abdul Muti emphasized that education is believed to improve individual lives and advance the nations. He encouraged schools to create a positive and joyful learning environment through three main approaches: mindful learning, meaningful learning, and joyful learning. He also introduced the Joyful Break or Jedacharya program, an energizing activity between lessons, which will be formalized as part of efforts to support students' learning spirit and to develop their talents and interests.
Next in for Indonesia is strengthening its commitment to protect and empower migrant workers through new village-based programs and international placement support. Ofra has the details.
The Minister for the Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers, Abdul Kadir Karding, emphasized the importance of empowering Indonesian migrant workers so they can not only succeed abroad but also return home as independent, empowered, and prosperous individuals. He made this statement during the launch of the Golden Migrant Village program at Wahana Ekspresi Pusponegoro Hall in Gresik Regency on Friday. This program is part of the government's strategy to empower migrant workers through the development of golden villages, migrant centers, and migrant classes, aiming not only to protect the workers but also to equip them with skills and access to build better lives once they return to Indonesia.
So we are building golden villages, setting up migrant centers, and creating migrant classes. I think we'll start with those three, working together with local leaders. The goal is to solve problems and find solutions. In short, migrant workers should go abroad as workers and come home as entrepreneurs. That means they should return as people who are successful, independent, empowered, and financially strong.
Minister Kadir also affirmed his commitment to helping prospective Indonesian migrant workers, especially the younger generations, to work abroad legally and with clear directions. The government will provide language training and other necessary preparation and will prioritize placement in countries that offer strong protections for migrant workers, such as those in Europe.
Last but not least, we have info about Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Pratikno, highlighted the demographic bonus that can provide benefits, including development challenges. Andi Romdoni has the details.
Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Pratikno, on Friday said that Indonesia, with its large working age population, has a unique opportunity to boost economic growth, but only if the workforce is skilled, productive, and well supported. In his remarks during the launch of the Grand Design for Population Development 2025-2045, Pratikno warned that without proper planning, this demographic advantage could become a burden instead of a blessing.
Tugas kita ini adalah mengubah.
Our task is to transform the demographic bonus into a development dividend. Therefore, this demographic bonus must be transformed into a development dividend so it becomes a blessing.
Sehingga menjadi anugerah.
Pratikno emphasizing the need for a skilled labor force to drive inclusive and sustainable growth. Investments in vocational training, digital literacy, and job creation are also critical to ensuring that young Indonesians can contribute effectively. At the same time, social welfare programs, particularly in health, education, and family support, must keep pace with economic expansion. Urbanization presents another major challenge. Pratikno said that by 2050, 70% of Indonesia's population could be urban. He stated that without sustainable urban planning, these issues could undermine long-term progress. Environmental sustainability must also be prioritized. According to Pratikno, urbanization brings not just economic benefits, but also severe environmental pressures. Thus, he urged policymakers to adopt green urban designs and better resource management to mitigate these effects.
Listener, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week.
Thank you. maju, ayo maju.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sudah berapa lama aku menunggu jawaban darimu. Sampaikah kepadamu kata-kata yang kurangkaikan, agar kau tahu perasaanku yang telah lama terpendam. Inilah yang kurasakan.
Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata untuk mengerti yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hatimu di dalam hidupku untuk buatku bahagia. Sebut yang kau inginkan, apapun itu kan ku berikan untukmu. Andai kau bersamaku di tempat dan waktu yang sama, kau akan tahu perasaanku yang telah lama terpendam. Yang ku rasakan, jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata untuk mengerti yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hatimu di dalam hidupku untuk buatku bahagia. Semenjak kau ada di sini, ku mengerti betapa ku membutuhkanmu. Bila kataku tak cukup untuk buatmu mengerti, izinkan ku bertemu lagi denganmu. Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hatimu dalam hidupku untuk buatku bahagia.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Segala mimpi-mimpi di langit yang sama. Dan jika kau mempertahankan
tanyakan arahmu tentang apa yang harus kau cari di tengah ragu. Keluarlah kau dari rumahmu, lihatlah dunia menunggu langkahmu. Keluarlah kau dari batasmu, sadarkah kau kita hidup di bagian
Welcome back, listener, and thank you for staying tuned in Indonesia Today. Listener, now let's listen to VOI Talk on Indonesia in BRICS with Hikmahanto Juwana, an international observer hosted by my colleague Steve.
Gelombang semesta, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Kaya budaya alam khatulistiwa, kita kabarkan berita membuka cakrawala.
di gelombang semesta. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir pada dunia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia,
Indonesia
sesungguhnya,
sesungguhnya
kita diperlindungi. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir pada dunia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Shine the light.
The summit of BRICS is held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on the 6th until the 7th of July 2025. And this time, the theme will be about strengthening global South cooperation to a more inclusive and sustainable governance, to be attended or joined by 30 leaders of BRICS member countries, and Indonesia come here for the first time as a full member. And even the president of Brazil gave a special welcome for our president, Prabowo Subianto. And to see what kind of things that Indonesia can contribute in this matter, we'll be talking with the international observer, Pak Hikmahanto Juwana. Good morning, Pak Hikmahanto.
Yes, a very good morning to you.
Sir, on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs release, they said that the president will be acting like the bridge builder. I mean, bringing Indonesia's position as a bridge builder. And what kind of thing that we can actually do as this bridge builder, sir?
Well, for example, we understand that there is a conflict in Middle East. And we know they are contenders. It's between Israel and Iran. And even the United States initially was in support of Israel, but now they try to be the peace broker for the two countries. Now, what can Indonesia do? Well, I'm suggesting that Indonesia can make a coalition for peace. If you remember, under the Bush administration, the Bush Jr. administration, he formed what they referred to as coalition of the willing. Now, Indonesia at the moment can build what we refer to as the coalition for peace. And then we can ask France, the Saudi Arabia, who's going to have a summit meeting on issue of Gaza, to not only discuss about Gaza, but also discuss about the situation in the Middle East. So in that sense, Indonesia can be the peace builder for the world, because I think the world needs to have peace. So I think that is what the press release by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is saying.
And the plenary sessions also have so many things to be discussed, including even AI, the economy, the environment itself. And from all the matters being discussed, which one is the most important for Indonesia?
Two things, probably. On issues of AI, and second is on the climate issue. This affect Indonesia as a country, but also affect a lot of countries like Indonesia, the developing countries. AI has made life more easier, but if you are not careful enough, it may cause a lot of jobs to be lost, and we need to think about this. On issue of climate, this is a transnational issue, and we have been discussing about this. We want, for example, to become a country which can store carbon capture from other countries. And we want to make sure that the environment is good enough for us to do a lot of things, including economic partnership with various countries.
And there, it is expected that this summit will result in leaders' declaration on the position and commitment of BRICS on so many issues. And how do we make sure that this declaration is still suitable with the free and active foreign policy of Indonesia, in which we are not siding with one side at all?
Well, yes, I hope that from the leaders' declaration, there are three things that will be mentioned. One is the issue of building peace in Middle East. We want an everlasting peace so that we can, do our business as usual without any wars. And I hope that the declaration will mention about the two-state solution for the everlasting peace in the Middle East, for the Palestine, and ask Israel to stop its attack on Gaza, especially the civilians. Second issue is on the Ukraine war. We want the Ukraine war to end very soon. We understand that one of BRICS member is Russia, which is fighting against Ukraine. But we want this to be settled very soon. Lastly, on issues of I think climate, AI, those of the, those things that needs to be looked into by countries of BRICS, so that it will become something that is useful for us rather than something that is have a negative impact.
And as we see that a lot of things are related to conflict right now, right, in the Middle East, Israel, Iran, and also in Palestine, Ukraine, and also in Russia. And you mentioned also that Russia is one of the founding members of BRICS. And how do you see that Indonesia will be trying to negotiate about this, sir?
Well, we will say that we are for peace. We are not, for war. But, of course, we will not be sided with Russia when Russia is fighting against Ukraine. If Russia and Ukraine agreeable, we can be the mediator for the two countries to make peace rather than, prolonging the war. So I think that can be something that can be taken up by Indonesia under President Prabowo administration. Even the president himself can broker the peace, or if not, he can appoint a Indonesian former leaders to become the peace broker. We have Pak Yusuf Kalla, even we have Pak Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, former president, to broker the peace.
And, sir, this is our first presence as a full member of the BRICS. If we make a good impression in this, and as you said, that we become a successful peace broker, what does it mean to Indonesia?
Well, it means that Indonesia has gained international attention. We have one more level for our involvement internationally, and this is in accordance with our preamble of the Constitution that we need to participate on world order. And also, we hope that by having the international attention, there are good things to come to Indonesia. For example, investment, and also those who wants to become a tourist, they can come to Indonesia to enjoy Indonesia. Those kind of thing will happen.
Okay, and we know that so many countries have different powers. They have the economy, they have the military, and if Indonesia have the strength in brokering peace, the good things are expected to come. But does it ever happen to any country that also did that, sir?
Oh yes. Some countries, for example, those who brokers peace, they will have a big contract on reconstructing. So I'm hoping that Indonesia can be involved in reconstruction, for example, in Ukraine or in the Middle East. We have our state-owned enterprise who's focusing on constructing buildings. So if we have those things, I mean, this is going to be beneficial for Indonesia. So I need what I want to say here, a lot of our state-owned enterprise has the international quality. They can be asked to have projects in the former, countries that are in conflict.
Okay, we wish that will be coming true, and not only bringing the benefits for Indonesia, but bringing real benefits for the belligerents or conflicting countries. Okay, thank you very much, Pak Hikmahanto, for joining us in The Voice of Indonesia.
All right, thank you very much for having me.
Listener, that is Hikmahanto Juwana, an international observer, and he said that Indonesia is expected to be a peace broker in here. And if it is successful, it will be bringing a lot of benefits not only for Indonesia, but also for the conflicting countries. Stay tuned on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
RRI Digital with New Look.
Programa en español.
RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Yang pasti takkan kau temui. Tak perlu kau nilai-nilai semua. Biarlah semua adanya. Kau coba meraba-raba hati. Warna gejolak di sini. Alirkan semua rahasia, taburkan dalam suasana. Tak usah kau cari makna hadirnya diriku. Aku di sini untukmu. Ingin memberi arti cinta pada diriku. Aku di sini. Tak usah kau tanya-tanya lagi. Coba kau hayati peranmu.
bahkan sekilas esok hari. Semua telah terjadi. Aku dan dirimu tenggelam dalam asa dan tak ingin lari. Tinggalkan rasa ini, cobalah entaskan, pastikan lepas atau terus. Semoga peri terbang tinggi di awan.
Talking about cultural treasures, no doubt, Indonesia with its various tribes in the archipelago presented with its diversities of cultural treasure, whether it is still preserved or perhaps has already gone, swallowed by age, is one of the richest. With its vast and fertile land, agriculture is the dominant sector in Indonesia, and of course, it is expected to sustain the economy of the state. Rice plants are included the most favored sector in Indonesia because rice is the staple food for most of Indonesian people, including in Natuna Regency, Riau Island Province. The district's sea waters is bigger than its land area. About 97% comprises of the sea, while the land is only 3%. So small wonder that its agricultural prospects are not remarkable. The agricultural sector has not been managed optimally, since most people lived from sea products, such as becoming fishermen, while the sprawling paddy fields are only cultivated by small proportions of farmers. There is a unique tradition in Natuna Regency when farmers begin to harvest rice. It is called alugain, which is pounding rice grain to produce rice chips. So it is actually the process of making rice chips. Alugain is done by some farmers in time for rice harvest by using some simple devices, namely a half-meter-sized wooden mortar, some baseless or rice pounders made of ironwood with different sizes. The size is not without meaning anyway. There are certain sizes that produce a sound notation. Furthermore, a furnace with wood fuel is also prepared to roast a newly harvested rice that has been pounded into chips. This alu game is conducted from noon until late at night, can even be held up to several days. After a lot of chips have been produced, it's time for the woman to gather the ways of chips making. It is then put into a bowl, added with some grated coconut, brown sugar, and poured with a little hot water. A delicious dish is all ready to be enjoyed together. Listener, perhaps you are curious as to what kinds of sound the alu or rice pounder can make. Well, let's listen to the following then. Listener, to learn more about alu game when rice harvest times arrives, let's find out from a community leader who is also an alu game specialist, Haji Kamaini.
So according to the story, the origin of alu game was a man who was deliberately left in the woods by his brothers because he had an incurable disease for quite a long time. While left alone in the woods, the man created a game and some songs to fill in the time and forget his loneliness. So that it's how the first alu game was created. Then he met three people who were looking for Ratan. They worked for the kind in Natuna. Upon questioning, the man told them that he had been deliberately dumped by his family and he had created the game and the sound. The three men then returned to the king and told him that there was a very nice sound in the forest that they have never heard before. Then they brought the king and his warriors to the forest where he heard the sounds. He ordered his men to take the man from the woods and bring him home. Thus, the game of alu was created.
Hulu barangnya di dalam hutan, maka bertemulah ia dengan bunyi-bunyian itu tadi. Oleh raja itu tadi, maka dibawalah orang yang dipisahkan di dalam hutan tadi, dibawa pulang ke rumahnya, maka diciptalah sekarang ini yang dinamakannya alu.
As the time goes by, Haji Kamaini said, the alu game is getting more growing. Previously, the game was done by one person, but currently there are 7 pounders for each performance.
Itu permainan sebenarnya kalau alu itu tadi permainannya di dalam.
Originally, there was only one pounder with one person. Now there are 7 person with 7 pounders, one for each player. So all in all, there are one motor with 7 pounders consist of 4 big ones and 3 small ones. Alu game now has become our inheritance for generations. It's for our ancestor. So it has been passed down, not just 1, 2, 3, or 4 generations.
According to Haji Kamaini, alu game should be preserved so it will never be lost. According to him, the number of songs in the game was not 2, 3, or 4 songs, but 12. Haji Kamaini hopes the government will help in preserving it so the alu emping padi or rice chips pounder game culture will continue to exist. Listener, hopefully the alu game played when the rice harvest comes will continue and remain stable in the society.